Pastor Buddy, welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Got a great broadcast for you. We're going into an interesting discussion. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. We're on live tonight. This is the 24th day of April. My, how time is moving along. We'll be in celebration of Second Passover. And that will be coming up on the 20th of next month at the going down of the sun. We will begin our celebration, and we invite each and every one. You're welcome as the flowers that will be blooming there in the hills of the Smoky Mountains in May. So make your calling and election sure, and fail not to assemble. Do those things which you think that you would enjoy doing in heaven. You know, in heaven, we're going to keep the festivals and celebrations that the Eternal has placed before us. You've done them here, you'll do them there. And it's quite likely that that trend will continue as a love and as a joy in the heart of those that participate. Tonight we're going into a message of the equilateral triangle. Now, when we say triangle, we're going to go to the subject of Trinity. We're going to talk about the Trinity tonight and the doctrine of the Trinity and see if it's biblically inspired. We're going to examine the mechanics of the doctrine of the Trinity and see if it'll hold water. And we're going to look into what we believe to be spiritual truths that most people want to look over. Now, in the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hyssop, it traces most of the practices and the teachings of Catholicism to paganism. Now, isn't that strange that the teachings of the Catholic Church are traced to, according to Mr. Bishop, paganism? The worship of the sun, the IHS wafers that they bring, the subsidization of the body of Christ into bread form, and by drinking the cup to drinking his blood. It has a cannibalistic overtone to it in some instances. But is that the extent of the paganism of the Catholic Church? Now, we're going to look at it and we're going to examine, particularly, first phase of our examination will be in Trinitarian doctrine. Now, if we go back to the staggering proof of the pagan origin of one of the main teachings of Christianity, the doctrine of the Trinity, by which the Eternal Most High has been blasphemed, dishonored, and denied the right to his own throne.
Have you ever thought about that? That if you believe that there's three gods, you're believing in two more than the devil? The Bible says clearly, distinctively, that the devil believes that there's one God, and he trembles. Isn't that strange that Christianity would adopt as its origin basis for its religious basis doctrine a Trinitarian application of thought? In other words, dividing the mind into three parts. We're going to tell you why that they have done that. No man can serve two masters. That's why the devil only believes in one eternal creator. He knows because he was created by him, so he knows his existence was due to the fact that someone else brought him into existence, not he himself. Now, gods that are portrayed as gods, even, as I said, the pagan origin of a main teaching of Christianity into Trinitarian concepts, that they deny the eternal creator, his proclamations of truth in the Bible. Now, what would we do without the Bible? I'm telling you, as people that study to prove all things, the Bible is, it is a, and you say, well, how do you know it's true? We know it's true by the very things that are coming to pass today. And if you compare the times and the signs with biblical applications written thousands of years ago, then you're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this book, although it's been mishandled, misused, abused, mistranslated in instances, but by and large, this book has proved itself as inspired by holy men of God, spake as they were moved on and recorded. Now, we've got a large faction today that have declared that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament is a deceiver and he's a false prophet. These people that have brought this doctrine to the forefront err on the side of blasphemy. Ladies and gentlemen, if we look at the facts for the listeners tonight to draw a conclusion, and the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter, we need to bring into focus the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, let's look at some of the things that the Old Testament talks about and its identity to who or what is the reason for those that teach this concept. Does it come out of the Bible that the Trinitarian doctrine, does it really come out of the Bible, or does it come from the paganism that Mr. Hyssop suggested that it did? It was drawn clearly in the past from the Trinitarian concepts of paganism. Jeremiah 29:13. Let me read you a verse of scripture here. When you seek me, you shall find me. It didn't say when you seek us, you will find us. Have you ever wondered what God looks like? Have you ever wondered where he had two hands and nose and two eyes and feet? And is he a man likened unto you? Does he have a facsimile thereof to man? Well, John 4:24 certainly brings this into focus, and we're going to lay a gestalt of understanding and really actually place the Spirit. Now, the Bible said God is a Spirit. Now, we're going to use the word God interchangeably with Elohim or Elohim or Elohims, if you will, in the plural, El in the singular, and Elohim in the Hebrew word, and some people suspect even those are out of bounds with the Scriptures. But we'll use God for the sake of you who don't know the other names of the Els and Elohims that we're going to talk about here. When you seek me, not us, we are them. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. You see, the reason that people haven't really found in their heart the truth, and that the full expression of the Creator, making himself known. Christ said, if you would have known me, you'd have known the Father, for the Father is in me. Now, how could the Father be in him if the Father is a person? God is a Spirit, John 4:24. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, Matthew 11:27, is an expansion of thought to clarify the great mystery of the Godhead. Indeed, the Bible says that the Godhead is a mystery. Now, we're going to try to explain the best we can how that this mystery is brought into clarity. In other words, into clear focus, that you may understand and know. John 10:14, when he said, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. Who knows him? Do you have a clear expression of him? Do you really know him as he wants to be known? You may have an image created in your mind. And we know that they that project images are clearly violating the codes and the principles of truth of the Bible. Thou shalt not bow down to an image. Well, we've got a lot of this going on here in the last month within the churches that are now, looks like to me that they're clearly have the agenda that will link up with the New World Order of coming together into one. Now, how's that going to be? Because if you look at the objective of the New World Order, it's clearly the intent of Satan to bring a visionary image into your mind that you would worship the creature rather than the Creator. And for this, the Bible frowns severely, and the punishment that is to be given out for those that do such thing, we'll get into that just in a minute. But in the confusion and division of the matter of the Trinity, there is nearly as many interpretations as there are teachers on the theory. I've heard it all on my 50 years experience being pursuing the truth of the Godhead. The person that is trying to find truth should not take anything out of context. You should clearly bring the context of the truth into your mind, that your mind could not be parted or divided, where that you would have two masters. I've heard people use two different names. I've heard people say that God has many names. One of the greatest fundamental errors of doctrine of Christianity is that God has many names. Ladies and gentlemen, it is against not only nature to have many names, mankind has long held to one name. You're known by one name. Now, in our day, it is the last name. We've used two names. In other words, we have what is called, in my case, my last name is Johnson. In Hebrew, that would be Yahkahana. Yah. Given the glory to this namesake, and the Bible says we are all children in heaven and on earth that bear the name of the Creator, not the names of the Creator. It's the same thing that if you know Him, you know He does not have more than one name. You know that you cannot be in the confusion of Babylon to call on many names. And that's what Babylon is all about, is confusion, and the confusion is their own doctrine. And Christ said, out of your own mouth, I'll judge you. If you don't know what name on the planet, or in the universe for that matter, has got salvation, you should take a simple test by getting you a stethoscope, placing it in your ears, and placing the applicator to listen to your breathing. Now, the Bible said He's closer than the breath we breathe. And the Bible says He fills heaven and earth. So we're talking about an expression of spirit being. Now, and it's amazing how we get the two syllables of the name, Yah, Wah, into our focused breathing channel. Try it and put it to a test. Take Pastor Buddy and put him to a test and the teachings that I'm giving you tonight. Take a stethoscope. You can purchase one at Walmart for $5 or $6. Put it in your ears where you have the functioning of hearing. Now, the Bible said we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we have a mouth to speak. And let everything that has breath. Now, this is the amazing truth that I'm going to give you here. Once you listen to your own breathing, you don't have to do anything strange or irregular. Just breathe in and out. Inhale and exhale. Isn't it strange that I just said inhale and exhale? Did you know that maybe the focus and the function of your own breathing will condemn you? That within your breath, you have the express purpose of His name being made manifest as you breathe, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times that you inhale and exhale, that the name of deliverance to deliver you from hell is contained within the breath you breathe. And it doesn't give you a Trinitarian application of revelation when you breathe in and out. It only utilizes a sound. The Bible said His name as a sound went out into all of the earth. Now, these earthen temples, as they function in breathing, and it's a requirement that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word. Now, the word is a sound. But by every word, not words, but word. The word, the living word, the inner word in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, as you express His name exclusively. In the region of your lungs, as you breathe in, and as you exhale, breathe out, then you can hear a certain sound as it tells you that you are repeating His name by even breathing. You don't have to speak it. It is a sound that goes out into all of the earth
from the inward connection that God made man for his glory and by his own breath. He expresses the name, whether he will acknowledge it or not. Now, you've got to acknowledge its name. It's only rightfully so that you breathe in and out the name, the oxygen given to you freely by the Creator to express His own name in your being. And the Bible says He's nearer than you believe. And so then if you'll listen clearly, you'll hear, why is it that man in his expression of praise daily, I listen to people sing psalms, and rightfully so, because it's an expression of praise. But Yah is the central word of praise. Yah. That's the short poetic form that is mentioned in Psalms 68:4. Now, if you've got a revised King James Version, it will say Jah, J-A-H, what it should say Yah, Y-A-H. And this Yah as you express the breath contained within you a sacred measure of being near to the Creator as He drawn near unto you. Now the expression or the acknowledgement that this name contains this name only. How could He have many names? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you can read many names in the Bible. That's a lie. Never is it expressed in plurality. And by the names of Yahweh, you'll know Him. Now, that's not the way it expresses itself. By His name, singular. So, in the confusion and division of the matter of the Trinity, it'll bring confusion to your mind to believe in three gods. That's two more than Satan believes in. If you believe in one, you believe well. And that's what the Bible says, for the devil believes in one, and he trembles. Now, the reason he trembles, he knows just a little bit more about this great mystery of Trinitarian deception that he's brought into the earth. Of course, Satan would like to be in there as one of the sons manifesting to receive praise. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, he'll do that in a three-piece suit, ladies and gentlemen. He don't have to have a machine gun to do you in. Men of the cloth, men that take the word and use it deceitfully, have sent more people to the dungeons of hell where they will never recover. Those that are deceiving and those that are being deceived will be cast into a place of eternal darkness and separation from the actual truth that they deny. Even the breath within them is a witness against them. And if you'll try it, you'll know that His name is not Jesus. His name is not Jesus. The sound is not manifested in the hearing of the sound of the true name that is in the breath that we breathe. Now, for the lack of the love of our Savior, but for the love of self, the Bible said in the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers, loving themselves, and these teachers knowing, if you will, what it takes to please the people. And the people will reward them with, handsome gifts and treasures, cloth to wrap around their bodies to give them expression as leaders of the flock or ministers or, if you will, shepherds of the flock. But the Messiah said, my sheep know me and I know them. So then, if there are two
with the concept of two. Now that's the Trinitarians. The Trinities. There are people that believe that there's two. There are people that believe that there's two names. That these names are separate, but inseparable. These people in the Trinitarian or the Triune God, as they identify their God as a Trinitarian or a three-headed God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That makes it an image. Not in the likeness of man. And the Bible said the head of every man is Christ, so that's one image that you would project with one name, clearly, distinctively. As you breathe in and out, you will express this name many times by listening. The greatest convincer of what his true name is and the sound of it is just a few dollars away. If you'll go to Walmart, or I hate to even advertise for that place, but go to wherever your choice of purchase and purchase you a stethoscope to hear your expression by the breath you breathe, glorifying Oh, I'm telling you, it is clear that you can distinctively hear yourself repeat the name in even the breath you breathe. My people, being destroyed for the lack of knowledge, breathe in and out never knowing that the name or the breath that they breathe is a clear indication of the glorification of one eternal one and not many as the Trinitarian concept. You look at the true concept of the Godhead and the divinity of that person who sits there. He sits alone and by himself, and that's what the Bible says. He sits alone and by himself. Now, if there's someone beside him, does he really know? Does he really know someone that isn't there? Are we creating these monstrous image of a God, a three-headed God, to sit on the throne, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and we believe that that's three gods, separate but inseparable, according to the teachings of the Trinitarian doctrine? And let me tell you who are the masterminds of the Trinitarian doctrine. Need I say more? Alexander Hyslop told you, in his book, The Two Babylons. You need to read it. You need to save yourself. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And if you refuse knowledge, Yah will refuse you. It's that simple. But if you will humble yourself and pray and call on that name, because he said, if my people which are called by my name. Now, how could that be? The living eternal beings that are called by his name, even the breath we breathe, is a witness either for or against, depending on how we use the knowledge to clearly, intently, purposely call on his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah and turn from their wicked ways. And this is a clear indication that the eternal foundational principle of the original faith was brought to the Hebrews, not in a Trinitarian concept, but as one deity. Moses, in the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, longed to see him. And the Bible says that this visionary experience that Moses had, he actually saw him. I kid you not. It is recorded in the Bible that Moses actually, literally, saw the Creator
And by seeing him, the king satisfied because of one thing that is mentioned there in that episode of the book of Exodus. It is very important that you catch this. If you don't catch anything tonight from this message, catch this. That after, and we're talking about after now, after that the Eternal One manifested himself to Moses, and this manifestation was in the joy of the expression that Moses longing to see him was placed in the crevice of the rock. Isn't it strange? By placing himself in the crevice of the rock, he held his hand over his eyes. Yeah. What a way to reveal yourself. Blind. You're not putting on a blindfold. But why did he do such a strange work by placing his hand over the eyes of Moses? He took them off. And by taking the hand off after he saw him, he was allowed to look upon the hinder parts of the Creator. Now, we know now by this, now the Bible said no man has seen God, but that's not true. If you examine the truth of that statement is not true if we leave it there. No man has seen God. It goes on to say, except. So if you want to see him, he can be clearly revealed to you in the most strangest of ways. Not that you will get a chance to visibly look upon him, because no man can look upon his face and live. Moses got the experience that even with the hand held over his own face, hand of the Eternal One, he had to wear a veil. With this encounter, he had to put on a veil because the people who looked upon the face of Moses was so alarmed with the Shekinah, with the actual presence of the glory of the Eternal One was upon Moses' face so bright that they could not stand to look upon the face of Moses. This is incredible. And yet the secret is not there in the brightness. You can look at the sun only for an instance before you're blinded, and this is the same analogy that I could use. You could no more look upon the sun directly in its brightness without being blinded, that you could look upon the face of the Creator. But there was something there that manifested after he took his hand down. It was given him in a sound. He identified himself through a sound. Now, isn't that strange? The Bible says that he passed by Moses and proclaimed the name of the Eternal One, Yahweh, the Mighty One, proclaimed his own name, not names, but his own name in the presence of that individual man who was to write down the name that was proclaimed to him. And he passed by and proclaimed the name, the sound, if you will, of the divine covenant name of salvation.
Now, in Acts 4:11 and 12, it clearly says that there's no salvation in any other name. I will debate anybody that uses another name outside the name of Yahweh. That I would brand you a false prophet, a heretic, or deceived. One of those categories would fit you. That if you believe in two gods or two names, or if you go to the Trinitarian concept of bringing in many names, and they don't care to do that, they will readily acknowledge it. All the professors, the doctors of divinity will say that God has got many names, and they will excuse their ignorance of the divine covenant name, or for the shadowing, or for the hiding of the name. This has long been a custom of the priesthood. You have caused my people to forget my name for Baal. Now, we don't have time to get into the name of Baal or the association by paganism of how the name Baal came in. That's an entirely different message. But it does connect rightfully so in its place here in this thought process, that if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, if you would do that, if you would look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and, or chapter 6 and verse 4, you would see that from the New Testament side of the answer would be found in Mark 12:29. So if you want to make a reference of Deuteronomy 6 and 4 and wonder where that it came from, then you would need to look no further and oneness concept. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh is one. Now, why would you want to turn that statement of truth and clarity into a creature's ideal about the Trinity? Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as a Trinity. The Trinity is a false pagan concept. John 17:3-26 will tell you emphatically that there's only one name. And it just so happens that the Father, who is a spirit, embodied himself in a body of flesh called the Son. That's not two now. Remember, there is an inward man acceptable, an outward man that must confess to become acceptable. And if you fail to have that name embedded in your forehead as a saving grace or a saving salvation. Many people say, I don't have to be baptized in the name of the Eternal One. Oh, I don't have to do that. My preacher said that I was baptized when I was in the womb. Some of these false teachings and concepts, just like the Trinity, will follow. You see, one lie, it takes one lie to create other lies that spawn off to support the lie. But the truth stands on its own merits by the word. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh, our mighty one, is one. Well, man, in his attempt to corrupt what has been said, because we can't accept that. It takes a spirit mind to understand the oneness of a Godhead. It takes a spirit-minded person to know the name
that you must have hammered or chiseled or ingrained, if you will, by the Word, the engrafting, if you will, of the living Word of His name to match the breath you breathe. And if it don't match, if you have a mind to call on another name that will not match the aneshama, the breath into you that is expressing itself in clarity, in the sound, in the earthen temple, as you breathe in and out, you are expressing the great in the breath that you breathe. Now, if you are on the surface, the outward man is baptized in a false name. You say, well, I was baptized, Pastor Buddy, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And my question to you, what is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? John 5:43, the Son said, I come in my Father's name. If that name don't match the Father's name, you've got a problem. You say, well, I'm in Yahshua. All the word Yahshua, all that is Yahweh of salvation. Joshua had that name. But the Son who came to inherit His Father's name took a name above every name. And certainly, Yahshua was a common name in the Hebraic way of naming their children. There were many Yahshuas. But this man took a name above every name. And that name, the sound, is right in your breathing, in and out. And you have to have a correct match in your forehead with the man emblazed in the Aneshamaya expression of His very self, the very living Christ within you. And if you have not Christ, you're none of His. What then? Is it wrong to teach a Trinity? Well, of course it's wrong. It is not biblical. It makes the Almighty a liar when you bring in more than one God into your consciousness. Now let me repeat that. It makes the presence of God's Word of none effect. Now, if you would express yourself in a way that would be identical to the breath you breathe, then you have harmony in the house. And remember I said no man can serve two masters. So if you breathe in and out one name and then call on another name, you are in Babylonian confusion, and that's just exactly what Trinitarian concepts teach. It is a teaching of blasphemy because it makes the Almighty a liar, and you know that He is not a liar. I want you to look at Isaiah 44:8 for your reference. Is there any other God beside me? Well, I know not any. So then, man deliberately, falsely places other gods beside him. To give you a concept of a creature rather than the Creator. And for this cause, God has turned many people over to reprobated minds to believe a lie. And the doubt man will send you deliberately, if you insist, a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned who hold not to truth and righteousness. Isaiah 44:6, I am the first and the last, and there's no other God beside me. Yea, I know not any. Now, by using these clearly singular terms, he speaks of himself as I or me, not we or us or them. I and my Father are one, John 10:30, and that brought the stones out to the man who called himself the Son. Now, the Son was no more than a vessel approved and brought forth
by the Spirit of the Father. It's true that Mary gave him the human side of his being. But that's what he wanted. It was impossible for us to become him. But if you notice, by being responsible for those things that are there in the Word, clearly, to indicate that there is a time and a place for you to place your thoughts clearly. As it says in Isaiah 44:24, I myself made all things. Was there a God beside me? I alone spread out the heavens. Was there someone with him? When I gave the earth shade, did anyone help me? It was I who spread out the heavens with my hands, and then man comes along and tries to give glory to someone else, and that is the satanic influence of robbing, stealing, and destroying your perfect image of the express purpose of the Godhead that is formed in your heart in truth. You cannot serve the two masters. You'll either cling to the one and despise him. You cannot serve two names. If you don't have the eternal aim of salvation, you're in a name that's lesser than eternal salvation. And most people are settling for the lesser name because Satan has done such an expert job of confusion in Babylon and through tradition. Here we go with Matthew 28:19, as I spoke. He said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father. Well, of course, they go out and say Father and not say the Father's name. Father is not the name of the Creator. Son is not the name of the Creator. These are titles. So then, millions of people, and this is coming from the very church that I expressed to you, along with the denominations that came out of her. The Protestant rebellion, who come out of the fire and or out of the frying pan and jumped into the fire. When they brought out the same name that the whore calls on, they make themselves the harlot of the whore, and although they hated her and despised her and burned her flesh with fire, in other words, the doctrine of opposition, yet calling upon the name that she promoted and brought forth in a falsehood. Just listen to your breathing. The Neshama. Isaiah 43:10-11. Oh, what a wonderful scripture. Mark that one for sure. I am Yahweh, and there is no Savior beside me. Well, Yahshua is the Savior, and Yahweh is the Father. That splitting of the Adam, again, was the destruction of the thought process of the unity of one. When we were made to think in terms of duality or Trinitarian, because we don't understand the concept, we're carnal. And we shouldn't be carnal. The carnal mind is not subject to Yah. Isaiah 63:16. You, Yahweh, yourself are our Father and our Redeemer and our Savior. Did you know in Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon me. This is the Creator, the Eternal One, doing the talking here in Zechariah 12. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And ladies and gentlemen, that man that was pierced by the satanic tares of the earth. Now let me repeat that. Most people believe that when they killed him, they didn't know what they were doing. That is a lie right out of the pits of hell. And most people believe he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not correct Greek. The Greek says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Don't you believe that the people that planned the tares, the serpent seed,
said, this is the heir to the kingdom. Come, let us kill him, not them. They recognized who he was, and they killed him for who he was.
And you tell me that they didn't know what they were doing? You tell me today that,
well, Pastor Buddy, this is just a, it's really a mysterious thing. It's a problem. I ain't never been able to figure out the Trinity, but glory to God. I love Jehovah, and I love Jesus, and I love the Holy Spirit, whatever he is.
Those names that I just mentioned are all erroneous rendering, false.
Never meant to be. I know this is going to hurt you, and I know that you're going to hate me for telling you the truth. They hated the Messiah. They despised him because he said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. I come in my Father's name. I'm preaching tonight in my Father's name. The Neshama, the breath. It will verify what I'm saying, if you will, go there. The Trinitarian confusion has gained a foothold, even among sincere believers, because it is half the truth. When the Messiah walked the earth, the Father and the Son were the same being. The Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. The Father is a spirit. But he clearly got himself a flesh body and dwelled in it. And that body that he showed Moses was the future body that would contain the wounds where he was wounded by these Tarian serpents who knew what they were doing. Now, if you look into the church dogma, you'll see the general interpretation of the Trinity is a common depictedly by a drawing of a triangle. The equilateral triangle. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. These three are separate, but inseparable. Ladies and gentlemen, you can no more separate the Spirit from the eternal Messiah who walked here 2,000 years ago. Then you can take an egg and make three eggs just because it has the shell and the yolk and the white. It's not so. It's one substance, one egg, not three. The substance are three in one. But as a falsehood of the Trinitarian, separate. And they're no more separate than the egg. Let me show you the concept of the Son when he came. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, I am he that liveth and was dead. You go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 6 through 8, and you'll see, I am he that liveth and was dead, is the same God that was in the Old Testament proclaiming himself to come later in a flesh body to become like a man when it was impossible for you, a man, to become God. But the lie of the serpent told you that you would become a God. He never told you that God would become a man. That was what he dreaded the most, because he knew that only one worthy to come and to defeat him on the ground, which was the God of this earth, the territory of the carnal mind, that the Father overcame the carnality and opted out for the spirit, because the carnal mind is not subject, but Satan really, really tried and tempted him in the carnality of trying to get him to accept a physical kingdom. And the Father rejected. My time is gone. I got to get off here. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call. If you'd like to hear part two of this, tune in next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
on the mighty voice of WWCR. And we will continue part two of the equilateral triangle. You need to know the whole story that is involved in the true teachings of what the truth's all about. If you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's New Tazewell, 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live on the 24th. Simply call area code 423-626-2172. Now again, area code 423-626-2172. Call me up and let's talk about this tonight. There is like 1,000 scriptures at my right hand and 1,000 at my left hand to confirm there's only one God. And if you don't know his name, you're lost into the Babylonian teachings of the equilateral triangle of deception. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. How can you call on two? How can you serve two, let alone three? Satan believes there's one, and he trembles. Now, if you would like to help us on the broadcast, simply mail your offerings to Pastor Buddy. And I will apply them to the cost of our radio time. We need your help. Or you can call toll-free Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, or Dr. Jack, toll-free, 1-888-281-7320. Now, again, we'll be in the Passover Celebration Fellowship on the 20th day of the second Passover, beginning next month in May. Beautiful time. The weather's going to be great, and we're going to have a wonderful celebration. We look for you there, where you will find a lot of things that will give you a message of joy. So tune in with us next Passover. That'll be on the 20th. Tune in and attend the Passover and fellowship in Andrews, North Carolina. Write me for directions or telephone numbers that you can contact and information on how to get to Andrews, North Carolina. Until next Sunday night, this is Pastor Buddy, and I bid all of you, y'all will speak and breathe in and listen.
To learn, then to fail.